But the Paraclete, the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In Durham, in England, there was a holy hermit who lived in a cave in the large forest there. And he was rarely seen by the public, but occasionally he would be happened upon as people would go hunting and fishing in the woodlands there. They would see this man. He looked sort of wild and a bit of a creature, but he was out there and they would recognize that he moved about without any care in the world. No worry whatsoever about all of the beasts that lived in the forest. At that time in Durham, in England, there were many a dangerous creature there. They had wolves, they had wild boars, and they even had lots of venomous snakes there. Those who got to see the holy man, they would see him not only not afraid of these animals, but actually with the animals. He'd walk about and they'd be right beside him. He would call them unto himself. And even when he slept in the cave, they would gather around him and lay and sleep with him, the snakes even entwining themselves around his legs. But never was he ever harmed by any of the animals. The man's name was Godric, and Godric lived this hermitive life for a long period of time. And as it would go from time to time, a priest would come out to the cave and say mass for the holy man. He'd come in there, Godric had made himself a chapel and set it up in honor of the Blessed Virgin Mary. The priest would come, say mass for him, say some prayers with him, and then perhaps sit down for a bite to eat and a chat, and then go about his way. Well, one of these times, the priest came to him, realized this truly is a saintly man. We need to find out more about him. I know nothing of him other than he lives in this cave, other than the fact that he seems extremely penitential and very devout at the service of the Mass. And so he came, he said Mass for Godric, and then he afterwards sat down, as he often did, to talk with him when Mass and the prayers were done. And as he sat there, he looked at him and he said, Godric, nobody knows anything about you. You should really tell me your life story so I can let others know where you came from. At this, Godric got mad and he stood up and said, no, leave me be. And he said, if there's anything to say, then tell them this. Tell the people that Godric is a liar. He's a thief, a drunkard and a brigand, a decaying dog and a dead flea. But certainly, he is no hermit. And with that, he told the priest to please leave and went deep into the recesses of the cave to pray and do penance there. As time went on, the priest continued to come and offer mass for the hermit. They never spoke of what that outburst was. Until finally, the priest realizing again, Godric was getting old, and his time was probably limited here on earth, decided he would try one more time. He came and he offered mass, and then afterwards, when they sat down to talk, he looked at the holy man, and he said, Godric, you're older. You're nearer to death now. Nobody will know your story. Maybe, perhaps, it is not one that you enjoy, but there is a lesson to be gained from it. Something has led you here. Please, tell me about yourself so that others may learn from that. Godric sighed, looked at the man, tear-eyed, and finally said, okay. And he began to tell the story of his life. He'd grown up in a farming family. Yet as a child, he had no interest in farms. Oftentimes, being a bit of a headache for his parents, he'd skip out on his chores. He would go about his own things, and times disappear for days on end because he liked to wander. And off he would set off on some sort of little journey of his own, much to the disheartenment of his family until finally, when becoming an adult, he decided he was going to journey off and never return ever again. Yet in wandering, there was not really a much of a life to be had in that. He was poor and he was destitute, and so he decided, well, if I want mine, I have to somehow turn my interests into my livelihood. And so he saw that the merchants of the sea, they could make a living selling and traveling all over the place. He joined up with them and began to travel the world, selling products near and far, traveling all over to fascinating places throughout the world. He became very successful at that. He was a very good salesman and sold great wares to the point that he became quite wealthy himself and worked his way up through the sea merchants to become a captain of his own ship. He loved everything about it, but it was in a completely worldly life that he lived. He only sought after money. He only sought after enjoyment and pleasures in life. He began to completely forget about any kind of concept of God, and he fell into all of the sins that one associates with those wayfarers of the sea. He became a true rough character in life. However, at one point upon his journey, he happened to come to the Isle of Lindisfarne. And there, a small, tiny little island off of the northeast coast of England, was set up a Benedictine monastery. When he landed there, he couldn't help but be completely inspired by the life of these monks. Everything that he looked after in his life, these monks spurned. The pleasures of the world, the money to be gained, the temporal enjoyment of sin, all of that these monks cast away and lived a life of the exact opposite, of penance, of hardship, and of prayer. This inspiration sat with Godric, and he couldn't help but begin to think to himself, what happens next? Because I will not live forever. I will one day die. And when that comes to me, what does that mean? He began to think about his soul. He began to realize that he needed to strive after something much greater than the treasures of the earth. And so Godric decided in the end to leave the way of the sea. He set off now completely without any aim whatsoever, just knowing that he had to find something different to do. He ended up on a farm serving on the manor for a lord. And he thought, perhaps here in a stable life, I can find some peace and an ability to do good and start to work to help to serve God. But when he was there, he realized that the servants, they would always produce these great feasts of all these exquisite meats that they'd serve on the table. And in doing so, they were quite delicious. But he began to wonder, where did it come from? Because we weren't having these animals and these foods here on our own farm. And he began to realize that they were going out and stealing it from other people. With that, he brought it to the Lord's attention, and the Lord told him that he had no care whatsoever to worry about these things. Just let it go. Just enjoy yourself. Enjoy the food that you have. That was the exact opposite of what Godric was looking for as an answer. He began to punish himself by scourging himself because he couldn't punish those who were wrong. And he eventually left there too, and completely without any knowledge of what to do, he decided to set off on a pilgrimage in honor of finding his way. He set off to go to the Holy Land. He set off in order to arrive there on Pentecost. And as he was journeying for this Pentecostal trip to the Holy Land, there came upon the way a woman who joined the group and asked if she could travel alongside with them. They said, of course you can. But there was something bizarre about this lady. Nobody had ever seen her before. They couldn't place where she may have come from. And later, in returning back from the Holy Land, the places that they had stopped at, nobody recalled ever seeing such a woman. But she was radiant. and beautiful. And along the journey, she turned to Godric and gave him something. She handed him a book, and she told him to read. It was the Book of the Psalms. Godric knew really nothing about it whatsoever. He could barely even read at all. But there, as he journeyed along, page by page, he read through the Psalms. Once, twice, again and again, he read the Psalms. Until finally, by the end of his journey, he had memorized every psalm in the scriptures. With that, upon arriving back in England, he came to Durham and was there in the woods, still not really knowing what to do, when he happened upon a poor man living in a cave in the woods. This man was a holy hermit, and there he found instruction for him. He sat and listened. The man explained how to sacrifice well, how to live off of the simplicity that was around him, how to live a penitential, solitary life. And when he had gained just enough knowledge, the man died, and Godric was left alone with a cave and the memorized psalms in his head. It was the answer to his pilgrimage prayer. It was the guidance from heaven, from the Holy Ghost, that he had long sought after in his life. He now knew his purpose. It was this solitary, penitential life that he was to live. And that's where he was all the way until the interview with the priest. That's how he became the holy hermit. That's how he eventually became Saint Godric of Durham, because he had journeyed along to find God. And that is the ultimate reality of Pentecost. Our whole lives, every single one of us, is a journey. We begin in various places, places that we do not choose for ourselves. Some of you, many of you, have been born gifted with the holy faith from the very moment of your life. What a great treasure to have started off with. Many others have started off far away from the truths of God. And yet, along the way, certain circumstances and points have led you to ultimately find the one true faith, the one pathway that leads to Christ and to eternity. And we all here today realize that we are on that journey, each one different than the person sitting next to us, each one called in a different manner by Almighty God to save their souls. Yet it is by striving after that end that we can ultimately achieve it. It's by never letting go of that desire to find our way a little bit closer to heaven, a little bit closer to Almighty God, a little bit higher in sanctity, that we continue to grow every day. At some point along the way, we begin to allow our Lord to guide us to what he wants from us in our lives, our vocations, our locations, our pathway. At some point along the way, we pray for this, and we are guided in that direction. It was the same for the apostles on Pentecost. They were all worldly men. Then one day they met Christ, and they began to follow him. They didn't exactly know what it was going to be. They didn't know exactly what they were going to do. They were afraid at the end and cowered in a room. And then the Holy Ghost came and enlightened them and showed them exactly where they should be. We too, some point along the way, whether it be birth or later in life, we began to follow after our Lord by our baptism. We received that sanctifying grace, and we knew that this is what we needed to search after and to try to embrace and to hold on to. And so we started that journey. We didn't know where it was going to take us. We didn't know what it was going to ask of us. But we found later on in life a much greater strength to come than simply baptism itself. We were perfected in Christian life by our confirmation, the fullness of the Holy Ghost. And from there we drew the strength and the wisdom to be able to follow after what God wants us to do, rather than what we want us to do. And it is continuing on that way that ultimately we will find that true perfection in eternity. That is our journey. That is our calling. That is ultimately our Pentecost. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Thank you.